Va ora in onda Diplomazia e dintorni, un programma curato e condotto da Stefano Baldi.
Good evening everybody. This is Stefano Baldi. Don't worry, you're not in the wrong place. Tonight we have a special program, and you can hear it that it's special since I'm speaking in English this time, but still Stefano Baldi here at Radio Luis, broadcasting for Diplomazia Dintorni. Why do we speak in English, and why tonight's program and even the next one probably are going to be in English? Because we have some very nice guests with us tonight. Very soon I will introduce them to you. And they are here in Rome for a while, for some time. And they are diplomats. So I'm telling you a lot of things, by the way, already. Of course, we will have the chance to speak about, well, their experience, their countries, and also the reason why they're here, which is called EDP, one of the many acronyms. You don't know what it's about, and it's about European Diplomatic Program. So, in a way, we are talking today about the European diplomacy, how national diplomats can work together and can get together, junior diplomats in their case, not in my case, as you know, can exchange experiences, occasions. And this one of being together at the radio, it's an experience as well, an experience that can be shared with all of you. For those who listen to this program for the first time, probably those who are listening to it in English, we have... This is the 52nd program of Diplomazia Dintorni, but the other 51 are all in Italian. So unless you speak Italian, you won't be able to listen to the previous ones. But if you're curious, you can still go and look for the podcast. They are on a website, and the website is very simple, is Diplomazia Dintorni with Z. In Italian it is with Z, Diplomazia and Dintorni, .wordpress.com. And that's where we're also going to put this podcast after the live broadcasting. So now I think it's time to welcome the guests. They will introduce themselves. I think it's the best way. They will just, more or less say who they are and what they do very quickly, because then in the next part of the program we'll have more time to go deeper. So I can tell you one thing: they come from two Nordic countries. So now let's go for the first. Who wants to go first? They look at each other, and so I will call them then. I would say. Dario is going to be the first. He's close to me. Dario, welcome. Welcome to Rome. Welcome to Radio Luis.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Very happy to be in Rome. Like you said, my name is Dario Jovic. I'm a Swedish diplomat currently based in Croatia.
Very good. So since now we are in Sweden, we continue with Sweden, with our second guest.
Hi, my name is Johannes. I'm very pleased to be here as well. My first time on the radio, so I'm very happy for that. I'm a Swedish diplomat. I work at the Swedish Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Stockholm with nuclear weapons and space security issues.
Interesting. We'll have time also to see what it means. And now we move a little bit, but still stay in nice northern Europe. Finland.
To the other side of the Gulf. So my name is Heikki Karu, and I'm very pleased to be here. Thanks for the invite. I joined the ministry 2 years ago, and I'm still based in Helsinki working in the field of security policy and crisis management.
So it's a very interesting situation, I would say, because we have Dario, Johannes and Heikki, and two of them are still in headquarters or are now in the headquarters. One of them is already abroad. I think we'll have a lot of things to talk about, also on different experiences. I really would be interesting for them to explain quickly before we listen to the first piece of music that we have chosen for tonight on what brings you here. I mean, I anticipated. You're most welcome. You are with us. What's this EDP about? Very quickly again, because we're going to explain later on more on EDP and everything else. So we follow the same order.
We stick to the same order, so I can start. EDP is what you said, the European Diplomatic Program, which is, in my point of view, a way for young junior European diplomats to exchange practices, experiences, and to learn from each other. And I'm here in Rome as part of my of this program. Very excited. Never been to Rome before, so I hope to learn so much.
We have a certain responsibility for this. And of course, Johannes, is it your first time in Rome as well?
It's my first time as well. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to come here and decide to come to Rome instead of other countries to learn more about Italy and how you work.
Well, I hope that now starting from the radio will be a good start. Aiki, you've been to Rome before?
Actually, I haven't, and that's why I'm really excited about this opportunity to be here. About the EDP program, I think it's a very good opportunity to get to know other colleagues from other European countries. For example, these two Swedish gentlemen, but also during the other modules, I've been able to get to know colleagues from 27 other EU countries.
Which is, in a way, the spirit of the EDP. We will get back to that. I think now we're ready for our first track chosen for tonight. You know that we tend to have a theme for our selection, musical selection. The theme of tonight is evening jazz, but evening not because it's kind of music particularly good for the evening. That's when you are listening to this program. But because you will notice that each and every track of tonight is about evening, and we start with the evening in Paris. So we travel a little bit, and this is the name of the piece. The artist is a very well known one. It's Quincy Jones. Evening in Paris. Thank you. Quincy Jones with Evening in Paris. So we moved from Rome to Paris, at least with the music we're listening to. But sadly, tonight we also moved to many other countries with our kind and most welcome guests, with Johannes, Dario and Aiko. They come from Sweden and from Finland. They're diplomats. And sadly, we will have the opportunity to hear a little bit more from them, what it is, what it means to be a diplomat, a young diplomat, even in other countries. We have had many chances in this program to speak about Italian diplomats, of course, and this is a great opportunity to enlarge our view. So I really am very curious to hear from them. And I would start with Aike to know a little bit more. Why you can still say when, since you are so young, decided to become a diplomat, and how did that work? How does a Finnish promising student decides to do this instead of many other things?
I joined the ministry 2 years ago in 2014. Previously, I did something completely different. I worked as a business lawyer. I have a background in law and economics, and I worked in a law firm. But then I found out that international relations and politics are much more interesting than business law. And then I also knew many people from the ministry. I knew that it would be such an interesting career. Actually, it would be many careers within one career.
Yeah, exactly. Because you change That's something positions. Which was discussed in many occasions. Yeah, I'm glad you raised this. I mean, it's we always say blood diplomatic career or profession, but in fact they are. It's a big box with many different activities. And in these first 2 years, did you really found what you were looking for? I mean, did you really experience this, you know, flexibility and this dynamism that you foresee in the diplomatic activity? Or
I have been only positively surprised thus far. During the first 2 years, I've worked in two departments, first in the legal service and now in the political department, which are quite different and both very interesting, and they show how actually interesting the field of activities of the ministry is, and the time we are living in now at the moment with all the events that are happening in the world. It's very interesting to work in this field.
Janis, what about you? How what happens in Sweden when somebody like you decides to get into the public service, in international public service, namely in the diplomatic career?
That's a very good question. I'm trying to look in my history and my memories on what exactly happened, how it turned out this way. But I think one of the big reasons for me was that when I was young, I lived for a few years in Congo, in Africa. And since then, I've been interested in international issues. Although when I started university, I somehow had forgotten that part and started studying computer engineering. But after a while, I realized that I wanted to work more on societal issues, international politics, and with people, and instead of computers. Although I work a lot with computers anyway.
Well, that's all of us. Either we like it or not, but certainly it means the difference is if it is a tool or it is the final objective. In our case, it's a tool. In this case, I think.
Very much true. So I've worked with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs now for 7 years, and I very much enjoy it. I like to echo what Heike said, that it's many careers within one career. I've thus far been based in Stockholm, but also 3 years in Jakarta in Indonesia, and it's been a really interesting experience, I have to say. It's a lot of things happening.
Well, that's the fact of keep changing all the time what you do. I think it's a great advantage of our work. So I think that Dario can echo this, because now he's abroad. He's the only one who is still working in somewhere abroad.
Yes, I very much can echo what my colleagues are saying. For me as well, joining the foreign ministry was kind of an accident or a coincidence, either way you want to see it. I studied law and realized I didn't want to do anything connected to law. And I wanted to use foreign languages, which I knew a few of, and the foreign ministry was the only place that would employ me, basically. And yes, being posted to Russia for 3 years first and now in Croatia, you just realized how different everything is, how everything changes. You start from scratch every single place. Exciting, also intimidating. My parents still to this day have no idea what I'm doing, and it's impossible to explain to them.
I see Ike and Janis nodding, because I think we all have the same problem to explain, first of all, to our parents what our job is, except for traveling, you know, because generally they think just traveling, that's the real issue. But it's more difficult to explain what it is. Okay, now we have an overview. Time goes, as usual, very fast. So I think now we can listen to another travel musically again before we get deeper into the knowledge of our guests and their experience. And now we move to Pakistan. Next track is Evening in Pakistan, and the artist is Stan Kenton. Oh, yes, I will. And we had a chance to listen to the whole track of, which was short, by the way, of Stan Kenton, Evening in Pakistan. And you could recognize, I think, we were just discussing with the friends and guests that you really feel the flavor of this exotic place, as you can imagine, Pakistan. So Stan Kenton was trying to give this idea through his piece, Evening in Pakistan. Okay, let's go back with our three colleagues on knowing them a little bit better. It was interesting to see when and how they joined their Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And in a way, they already anticipated something that I would like to get to know a little bit better. So why do you really decide to be a diplomat? What is the driving force of which makes you? In fact, it was interesting to hear that initially none of you had the intention to be a diplomat. I mean, none of you said, you know, since I was 10, since I was 15, I knew I wanted to be a bit of a diplomat, which is a possibility, of course, but most of the time is a process which gets you there. And the process has generally motivation. So I would like to hear initially from Dario. Dario, what really was the driving force to make this decision rather than something else?
Yes.
And is it a final decision?
No, it's not a final decision. And what my motivation is, sometimes I ask myself as well. It certainly isn't the money. There is a great misconception that diplomacy is a profession where you join to become very rich.
I think you should be a broker. If you
exactly. I should have stuck to law in that case, I think. No, my motivation was something that you said initially, exotic places was what drove me the most, and also the very one would say pride or the privilege to represent Sweden abroad. It's a big cape to fill. It's not always very easy. It's a country that stands for a lot of matters that are very specific, and it's challenging.
And sometimes contentious. I mean,
very much so. Thankfully so.
Yes. And that shows you how Sweden and Swedish diplomats are very much into the causes that they defend.
I think you would have to be, otherwise you would be a very bad diplomat and you should probably try to find another job. Buying into your government's policy is pretty much half your job description. And I think we're just, me and Johannes, I think I can say for him as well, we are very lucky that we've had very fortunate governments with policies that we can support. Otherwise it would be very challenging.
I completely share your opinion. I think sometimes you really feel proud to fight some causes, some challenges, which are not recognized as a principle or as a value by all countries, which is part of the game in the international affairs. I mean, it doesn't mean that we are right and they are wrong, but certainly you have to find a common ground. So I think this is important. Ike, what about you? I mean, what is coming out of your soul to decide to do all this?
Well, Dario very beautifully described his motivations, which I very much share. From my personal point of view, I have always been very proud to be a Finn, while also being very internationally oriented. I've been interested in foreign cultures, in international affairs, and broad phenomena, even though I have also during my previous career worked on some more specialized field such as law. But I think it's pretty much about curiosity for new things, new experiences, but also curiosity to learn new things. In this career, you always have to challenge yourself to learn new things, because you normally spend just a few years in one position and then you might be assigned to something totally new out of your comfort zone, for which reason this is a very interesting career.
I agree. I think curiosity is a key word. And to tell you the truth, it is a concept that in other occasions during these programs has been shown, has been taken out by different level of not only a junior level, but even at mid or high career. And it's always a driving force, well, for many things, but certainly in a job where you change so often, unless you are curious and positive, moving from the comfort zone, as you rightly said, and then if you don't have this, it can be very, very difficult. So I completely agree with what you said. So now for Johannes, it's difficult, I think, to find something more, original than what has been said. But again, what is it for you? How do you feel on top of sharing, I think, what has been said up to now?
First of all, I do share what has been said right up until now. The curiosity part is very, very much on top of my mind as well when I thought about this career. But when it comes to motivation, I think for me, it's part of it is some personal motivation, but another part is that it's who you are as a person and how you channel that and how you. In what career can you continue be the person that you are? And I've always found myself to be more or less rootless in that I've never been able to stay at one place for that long. And in this career, you're allowed to, and even encouraged to move to new places and do new things from time to time. So I find that's a very good thing.
Well, these are very interesting. Let's say personal thoughts to be shared by the three of you, and I think that they can be useful for other young people to understand a little bit more if they are on the right track for doing certain things or other things, because what is not material, what cannot be touched, which is our motivation, sometimes it's more important than what is material, like just the will of traveling or the money or the nice people you can meet, which is important, but sometimes it's not enough. We'll continue this immediately after our next piece. I think in the next part we can also see what it means to be European, also that national, because national diplomacy, it's a very important thing, and of course it's there to stay. But at the same time, I think our dimension, which brings you here, by the way, it's also important to consider and to value. What's the next piece? Next piece is by a great jazz musician, now I'm well known, everybody knows, Dizzy Gillespie, and the title is Evening Sound. Thank you. great trumpet and great band, of course. This is Dizzy Gillespie. You can just imagine his face. You know, for those who have seen him playing, you know, he had this big face, you know, becoming bigger when he was just using his trumpet. And this was Evening Sound. Evening Sound because tonight the theme of our Diplomazia d'Intorni is evening jazz. So all the tracks will have to deal with the evening. And again, we get back to our colleagues, young colleagues. We are just having a chat on why they're here and the European diplomatic program we didn't mention yet. But this European, I think it's time that we discuss or we just have hear the views on this, because we are all national diplomats, of course. As it was mentioned before, we are all very proud to represent our country, which I think it's a really basic element in what we do, and it's something which really also goes from the inside. But of course, we are lucky enough, in my opinion, to live in a historical period where also the continental dimension is very important. We have the European Union. Not everything goes smooth, but that's normal in every family. But sadly, what I would like to ask you is, how do you leave your activity in terms of how do you feel, national diplomats and also diplomats of the European Union, not representing the European Union as such, but being one of the countries of the European Union? Of course, we have also a common spirit. I worked a lot in multilateral diplomacy, and there this is really more, you know, can be touched, because you have coordination, you have common positions whenever you can. But I think even in many other situations, how do you leave being a European diplomat in the sense that I mentioned? I would start with Yanis.
A very good and also quite difficult question, I would have to say. But from when you said the question in the pause we just had before, I was thinking about that just 2 days ago. I was in the Swedish Parliament, and there I saw the Swedish flag on one side and the European flag on the other side. And then yesterday I took the plane here to Rome, and after a three-hour flight, I touched down on the airport, and I see Italian flag and also the European flag, the EU flag, I have to say. And it's, I mean, you still you feel it as you travel as a private citizen, but also in diplomatic circumstances, in multilateral fora, in bilateral postings, that you have this community, and when you reach out to other countries to see what you can do, what can we achieve, you go and talk to your European friends first, and being a Swede, we always talk to the other Nordic countries, perhaps a little bit before EU, but at the same time, it's these are the persons you talk to.
I think all this is perfectly compatible. I mean, to have, you know, try to reach a common position or common ground, first of all with those who are closer to you, and then try to see how far you can go with the others. But then I think the union make force. I know this is not very original things, but it's true, even very much so in international affairs. Of course, even sometimes that can work out, even, you know, in the sense in negative, when you don't find a common ground. But again, it's part of the story. Heike, how do you think now you've seen it from the headquarters? Not yet in the field or in the embassies. How do you leave this need to work together with the other 27 countries plus the EU institutions, which makes it even more complicated sometimes?
Well, this is a very pertinent question. How I see it myself is that as a Finnish diplomat, while I have a professional identity of 100%. Being Finnish, but also 100% European, these are two elements that are mutually complementary and which are both very important. Whether you're in the headquarters or especially when you are serving in a foreign mission in a foreign country, European colleagues are usually the peer group that you share knowledge with, that you share experiences with, and quite often there are situations when the European countries speak with one voice, which is of course stronger than each country speaking just with their own voice. But that doesn't mean that you don't also have the strong national identity there at the same time. And what has struck me is that, well, in Finland we have had this discussion for some time, that do we need such an extensive network of embassies now that we have the European Union and EU delegations? And some people think that, well, EU could replace national foreign ministries, which is not the case. We need both. They are mutually complementary.
I think we also have the same kind of discussion sometime inside. You know, some people asking, especially now that we are into this spending review or spending cut or whatever, which is certainly a good thing in the sense it's needed. But sometime it goes as far as saying, but do we really need this or do we really need that? And I completely agree with you that it's sometime a bit superficial to think that it can be easily replaced by another entity which has different perspective. Most often it's a complementary or even enforcing objective. But certainly the countries themselves, they have their own traditions, they have their own relationship. And you know, on this issue, what Dario thinks now, being in Zagreb, on the action, you know, Zagreb is really in the middle of Europe, we could say, and part of the EU, of course. How do you live being a national Swedish diplomat in another EU country? You know, some people say we don't need any representation because now everything is done in Brussels.
Yes, very much. I have the privilege of not only being a diplomat working with EU matters, but also being a diplomat in an EU country, a very new EU member state. Johannes and Heikki said, for us working, especially I think the younger generation of diplomats, we don't know of anything else. European Union has been part of our DNA since we've grown up. So I think maybe for some older colleagues, they remember how it was before compared to now and might see the differences. For us, it's a very natural thing to talk with a common voice because we have some common values that we agree on very, very clearly. There is no discussion about it even. Being in Zagreb, you notice very clearly how quickly the member states get information or get to talk to our Croatian counterparts compared to people from or diplomats from other countries. First information out of the government goes to EU to the EU family. That's a natural way of working. It's not even questionable. And it shows the power of EU, especially for a small country like Sweden, who, of course, would have been way down the ladder in the hierarchy of countries if we had not been in the EU.
Well, that's very interesting. Of course, there's a lot more to be said, and we'll see how to continue after the next piece. But certainly what I get here, and I share completely, is that really, the EU, our EU membership, our EU institutions, our EU policy, it's a big asset. It's not something which is, sometimes you get this impression from many reactions that you have, it's a kind of impediment. The other way around, I would say, even though, and living as diplomats, in daily life we can see it. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, other approaches are not as constructive as ours. But we have our responsibilities to put it through. Okay, let's go to the next piece. It's more an advice, which is, the title is an advice in a way. It's a lovely way to spend an evening. Hopefully it will help you. Curtis Fuller. ¶¶ Lovely way to spend an evening. You've listened to the trombone of Curtis Fuller, not only the trombone, now you were listening to counter bass. So many different musicians and great musicians in this piece. Well, I hope you are spending a lovely evening with us. And this is Stefano Baldi in Diplomazia d'Intorni, and tonight you have the privilege to listen, and I have the privilege as well to be in good company with three colleagues coming here for European Diplomatic Program, Johannes, Dario and Nike, and we are just chatting a little bit on their experience and many other things. And now I really would be curious, we talk a little bit about Europe, European diplomacy, being national diplomat, and we only mentioned this idea of the European diplomatic program, which I think it's a good idea. It's not like Erasmus, but well, the idea behind is to put together anyway people. So I would like to hear from you. What is your impression now? You are more or less not at the middle, but certainly a certain moment, advanced moment of this program. So who wants to start and describe what the program is? Johannes, I see that you are pointing. So now. And also give some impressions, but then we'll share also the impressions with the others.
All right. Yeah, I think it's for me the program. It's been surprising this far that it's, or actually it's been good, a good surprise that it's been focused on skills more than long lectures on, about the state of affairs in different fields. It's been more focused on how do you actually do stuff. How do you communicate? How do you have difficult conversations in your job, that kind of things, which is very useful.
But who participates to this? Because we mentioned it before, but I think now we can be more specific. You are three of how many? How many people are and who they are?
Good question. I don't know how many, but it's approximately two people from every EU member state. And yeah, of course, it's European Union diplomats that have a few years of experience.
Well, few. When you say few, you mean not many in this case, because most of them they are like you. They're well, relatively junior, and I don't want to say all completely junior, but they're relative junior. And because this I think it's the idea, not to make young people meet a little bit, young diplomats in this case meet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one part is to learn new stuff, but and probably an even more important part is the network you get and from meeting these young diplomats in your, which are pretty much in the same position as you are yourself, and that will be useful and going forward in a lot of positions, and it's also fun.
Mikey, do you think it's fun? It's mainly fun, or it's also, you know, it's kind of a thing you have to do for work? They're both things. What are you carrying with you from this part of the experience?
Well, these two things go hand in hand. You have fun and you make networks. And that's part of diplomatic profession, and the network part is very important, because these are, as Johannes said, the people we share our time with in when we are posted abroad to our respective embassies.
Okay, but program has different phases. Mm. So how did you start all this, and how are you going to end it up?
Last fall we had our first module, which was hosted by Luxembourg, the then EU chair, and then we had quite a lot of skills training and get to know each other sessions and so on and so forth. Now we are having this visit to another member state, and in a couple of months' time we'll be gathering again all 60-70 participants in Brussels for some more skills training, and then finally in May we will convene in Amsterdam.
So you have many occasions to meet and to stay together. Let's say that this national trip to Rome, it's more an exception where you are a small group. Generally you stay together. And how much do you think it's important to stay together, Dario? What's your impression?
It's very important, I think, and also to just point out what kind of luxury this is to be able to leave work for a few days and go to see other colleagues and see how they work and how they solve the problems which we share in common. I also found the experience in Luxembourg very enriching, also just to see so many people who are at the same stage in their careers, who have their own experiences, but a lot of common nominators together with me. So I would just say that the more time we can spend together, the better it is, because we'll end up working together at some point or another in time.
Yeah, don't you think that at the end of the day, I mean, you more or less are between 50 and 60, I think, as a group. So, in fact, it's a small group. if you compare with how many diplomats you have in Europe, it's a small group. Do you think that this is still a valid activity, even if you have a small group? What is the validity for you? What will you take with you once this is finished, with you and with your country? Will you be able to be, how can I say, a more productive and more EU-oriented, or this is only about confronting with the others? How do you see this experience? Ike?
It's true that it's possible that I will not be working in the same country as any of the 50 or 60 other participants, but in any case, I think it's very beneficial, because through this program I get to know still people from other countries. It makes it easier for me to contact people from these countries, to actually interact with other European colleagues. And also I think it's a way to enhance the European identity of your professional identity, and get to know what actually EU can mean in your everyday work.
Johannes, how much is important, since Heike mentioned the personal relationship, how much it is important really in international affairs, this personal knowledge of people, this personal common activities you have done, because this, I think, it's an important part of this possibility to stay together. So how much it is essential to do your work well? Or you can still do it anyway from your office, I mean, being effective anyway.
I think it's very important in how things work now, but personally I would like it to be less important, that the structures would work anyway, in spite of whoever is at different positions. I think they would benefit from an organization where personal connections is not the primary mode of doing things. But of course it's important as things are now.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I mean, while it's the personal dimension can help a lot. It should be. You should have systems where things goes on. It's not always the case, but certainly we will. I'm sure that we will be able to improve this in the future. So now we have just a little time for another piece of music. I don't think we'll be able to listen to much of it, and then just the time to say goodbye after that. For our listeners. So the next piece, again, it's about evening, and I hope also this is true for tonight. The title is It's a Beautiful Evening, and the artist is Buddy Greco.
It's a beautiful evening. What a beautiful evening. It's a beautiful evening for falling in love. The moon winked his eye, the stars agree. That this is a night for you and me. And as soft as a willow, every cloud is a pillow, and all heaven and earth know what we're thinking of. And darling, they're so right, so kiss and hold me tight. It's a beautiful evening for falling in love. Thank you. kiss and hold me tight. It's a beautiful evening for falling in love.
Buddy Greco, it's a beautiful evening. Yes, this has been a beautiful evening, but it's over now because our time is up. But I hope you liked it, this special edition that we had tonight of Diplomazia d'Intorni. And if you like it, you can listen a little bit more even next week, because I will still have our three friends and guests with us. So I take this opportunity now to thank Aiki. Thank you, Aiki.
Thank you.
Johannes.
Thank you.
And Dario.
Thank you.
Okay. And as I said at the beginning, they are fellow diplomats. Aiki is from Finland. Johannes and Dario are from Sweden. And we shared with them some, well, they shared with us, though, rather, some of their experience, some of their ideas. We'll continue on this next week. Can I count on you? I think I can. Yes,
definitely.
They're all all nodding, so that's a good thing. So now our time is over. Stefano Baldi from Radio Luis for Diplomazia d'Intorni. You listen to this program in English, generally it is in Italian, because we have this our guests coming from Europe, and even next program will be in English. So I invite you to listen to us even next Tuesday here at Radio Luis. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Avete ascoltato Diplomazia e dintorni, un programma curato e condotto da Stefano Baldi.